morning, everyone, and welcome to the Measure S Oversight Committee meeting. We will officially begin this meeting at 10:03 on Wednesday, June 14th. I'm Brian Mullins, Deputy Director of Maintenance and Operations, and from the county.
Rafael Martinez, Director of Transportation.
Stephanie Licious, Community Development Finance.
Becky Morton, also from Finance.
Chase Hilbert, also from Finance.
Jim Honeycutt, Department of Transportation.
Kelly Carnahan, Department of Transportation.
Matt Moody, County Superintendent up here.
And Ashley Johnson, Department of Transportation.
And I'll have the committee introduce themselves, starting with Tom.
Tom Cilio from Myers.
Jennifer Dugan from Myers.
Chris is out.
That's not good for Myers. Good representation of Myers here.
Tom Paradise.
I didn't hear the last name. The last.
Crawford. Okay. We'll begin with the adoption of the agenda and approval of the consent calendar. Members of the public may address an item on the agenda when the item is called. Individual comments are limited to 5 minutes. Matters not on the agenda may be addressed by the public during the open forum period. I'm not seeing anyone from the public present at this time, so. Our first order of business will be to adopt the agenda and approval of the consent calendar. The committee may make any changes or corrections to the agenda as necessary. A committee member may request an item be removed from the consent calendar for discussion. Members of the public may make a comment on any of the items on the consent calendar prior to committee action. Today's agenda includes, one will be the election of the chair, vice chair, and secretary of the Citizens Oversight Committee through June of 2024. Second on the agenda today, El Dorado County Department of Transportation is recommending the committee receive a presentation on the current processes and revenue sources utilized in the South Lake Tahoe area, and provide recommendations on how the Oversight Committee would like to see the TOT measure revenue utilized in future upcoming years. Is there any committee member wishing to make changes to either the consent calendar or the agenda? Okay, seeing none. At this time, is there a committee member that would like to motion to adopt today's agenda?
So moved.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Awesome, moving right along. At this time, I'd like to move on to our agenda items, and we'll start with the election of the chair. Do I see someone that would like to volunteer to be chair?
Rock, paper, scissors, scars, whatever you guys want to do it.
Okay, Janet for chair, vice chair.
I volunteer for that.
Okay, Tom Cilio, vice chair, and secretary.
Thank you.
Okay, so we decided on Janet McDougall for chair, vice chair being Tom Cilio, and secretary being Amy Chilton.
Do they have to do a motion and approval?
Do they have to do a motion and approval for that?
At this time, is there a committee member that would like to motion to adopt the new chair, vice chair, and secretary? Okay, Russell, and second?
Second.
Okay, Tom Cilio, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Wow, moving right along. Okay, we're going to move right on into the presentation.
All right.
Well, okay.
Thank you all very much, committee members, for being here. Say thank you for the members of the public, and thank you for staff, county staff, for being here. We're essentially going to be giving you a presentation today, going over what we feel and the board feels was the purpose of the committee being formed in order to provide oversight guidance as to what the Measure S funds should be utilized for, as well as making sure that the funding is being utilized appropriately. So what we're going to be doing today is giving you a presentation, both from the fiscal side as well as the Department of Transportation side, and how it all works and collaborates together in order to provide maintenance and snow removal up in the Tahoe Basin. This is a very informal meeting. We want it to be collaborative and open and kind of dynamic and fluid. So if at any point during the presentation you have a question, please, by all means, just raise your hand, let us know, and then either fiscal or DOT will answer your questions. And then at the end of the presentation is the part that we're all really kind of excited is to hear what you guys think, what you guys are feeling, what you guys want to add to the committee that is going to be our opportunity to get a feel for what's going on in the community. So with that said, I am going to hand it over to my fiscal team. They will be the first ones starting off with the PowerPoint presentation. So Becky, go right ahead.
So I'm Becky Morton. I work in the fiscal staff. So we provide all the budgeting and accounting services for transportation. And we wanted to kind of start off with just giving you a broad overview of how we do accounting for the road fund, because it is very complicated, but we just wanted to kind of give you a brief overview. So we have the road fund, which is essentially one cash account that is floating all the different operations that are happening within transportation. There are six divisions that are listed here. The first one is our director division, and this is where Raphael and Kelly, their salaries are getting charged to, and they manage and they have the overall responsibility for all of DOT operations. Some of the other costs that hit this division are department-wide admin, our A87 cost plan, and department-specific software. Then we have the general division, and within that division, we have a lot of just general items that are hitting for expenses, such as liability insurance, county council charges, utilities, telephone, and this is where we deposit all of the big road fund revenue. So this is where gas tax is getting deposited, road district tax, our public utility franchise fees. So this is really kind of what makes up the cash for the road fund that's kind of helping pay for all of the other divisions. We also have the engineering division, which does provide services for maintenance. Then we have the maintenance division and the equipment shop division, and then the very large capital improvement program. So the capital improvement program is a division that provides project development for construction of county roadway capital improvements, rehab of existing infrastructure, and then also new infrastructure. This division alone, the budget usually is around $100 million. So this is a lot of money that's flowing in and out of this fund. The way that we do our accounting, we can easily identify what the expenses and revenue are. So what we like to do when we really look at kind of maintenance is we remove the capital improvement program, and instead of looking at the road fund in total, we kind of call this road operations. So when we are looking at the remaining five divisions, that's what makes up road operations to exclude the capital improvement program. When we look at the broad, just the road operations, the main revenue sources that are coming in are taxes, which is mainly the gas tax, SB1 and HUDA, road district tax, inspection fees, our public utility franchise fees, and let me back up. This is specifically talking about fiscal year 21-22. So this is the last fiscal year that we have actual numbers for an entire fiscal year. So this fiscal year started on July 1st of 2021 and ended on June 30th of 2022. So this is how that year was funded. This changes each year depending on the board's discretion of different funding sources that we receive. But so in 21-22, these are the revenue sources. There's also tribe funding, the countywide discretionary TOT. So this is separate than the TOT funding from the Measure S. There's tribe. We did receive some general fund, and that was for some disasters. We received the match for what FEMA didn't pay, and the general fund did kick in about 4%. And then we have miscellaneous others. So those are the main broad revenue is when we're talking about road operations.
So Becky, before you move on, I just want to focus here for just a second. And that is the fact that, as she said earlier, the capital portion is removed away from the road fund, and then it's called road operations. And then that is, what you see here is that revenue goes strictly into maintenance. You're looking at the gas tax, you're looking at the road district tax, you're looking at TOT, that is the discretionary, which we'll get into in a little bit, which is separate from this new Measure S funding that we're getting, the TOT that is separate from what the old discretionary funding is. And as she said, we are now getting some minor general fund. But these are all funding that is used only for maintenance and not in capital. Typically, capital is funded by grant fund programs that are through the state and federal government. So that is one distinction that I just wanted to make sure that you all recognize, that this is where a lot of where people typically call us up and say, we pay your bills. Well, this is how they are paying our actual bills. It's from the gas tax, from the road district tax, and a lot of the other TOT, general fund. That is how our maintenance is funded for the department. Continue. Oh, yes.
Is the CSA 3 funding of the revenue show here, or is it shown in the capital improvement?
Three is its own account. So when we use it, we pull it in. So it's not part of this right now.
No. Yeah. This is really what's kind of making up what we call the road fund cash account. So, you know, when we look at these types of funding, they get deposited into that general division. And we can't really pinpoint, like, you know, this dollar of gas tax paid for this. It's kind of just a big slush fund, all this revenue's in. And as expenses are happening. So this is paying for all of the maintenance shop and then all of the admin, such as a director org, any costs that are hitting that general division. So it's kind of paying for the overhead costs and maintenance and shop. And then when we look at how that revenue was spent, again, this was specifically for 21-22. So this changes year over year, but that particular year, it was salaries and benefits of 49%, service and supplies of 36%, charges from other departments of 11%, fixed assets of 3%, and then we had some miscellaneous other. So those were the basic of how that funding was spent in that year. And then now we're going to go from, when we're talking about road operations, where we're including the director org or division and the general division, and now we're going to focus on really just what is hitting that road maintenance and equipment shop divisions. And then we'll give you Chase.
So this is showing a breakdown of the different funding sources that are going to paying the maintenance and equipment shop activities. The bulk of it is road fund, which was split out in the previous slide. That's primarily gas taxes, road district taxes. We also, the next biggest chunk is SB1, which is itself a gas tax. We treat that a little separately in that it's not deposited straight into the road fund account. It goes into its own account and we bring it over to reimburse our projects. It's also a little less discretionary than some of the other taxes because we have to go to board, our board every year and get projects approved and report on those projects to the state. So it is a gas tax that's slightly different than some of the other ones. Some of the other larger chunks you'll see are Tribe and TOT. The following slides will give a little bit more detail on those. And then we have a few other small little items, reimbursements from the zones, insurance payments, Caldor activity. Oh, and once again, that breakdown was for the 21-22 fiscal year, so those percentages will shift a little bit year over year. The tribe funding originated with, it's an agreement we have with the Miwok Indian Tribe. This originated with the construction of the Red Hawk Casino. The purpose was to mitigate increased road usage from the activity from people going to that casino. We have an agreement that they provide us money every year that we're using for road operations, for maintenance. We'll use this to purchase fixed assets and a variety of other just general road maintenance programs. This one, we do have a commitment every year to receive a certain amount of funding for road fund. So this, there's sort of a baseline amount that we are guaranteed to get for the road operations. Sometimes we'll get a little bit more in, on top of that if we go to the board and increase it, which we've done a few times. The next one's SB1, which I talked about briefly already. This is a gas tax that was approved in 2017. It goes for road maintenance. We will also use this to purchase fixed assets at times. This requires a maintenance of effort requirement on the county's part, which is essentially a requirement that the county use a certain amount of our own discretionary funds from other sources, such as tribe or countywide TOT, that we are putting forward a certain amount of money of our own to match, to essentially match the SB1 funds that we receive. We go to the board every year and get projects approved. Their money is spent in every district every year. It's one of the more significant funding sources for road maintenance currently. This is the old countywide TOT funding. This is used both in the West Slope and in Tahoe. Just like the other two sources, we'll use it for traditional road maintenance operations and the purchase of fixed assets. This, unlike the tribe and SB1, where it is essentially guaranteed to be received for road operations every year, this every year is at the discretion of the board. You'll see in 1920 and 2021, we didn't have any funding that went to DOT or road operations from these countywide TOT funding. The last fiscal year, 21-22, we had $1.4 million. We have some information about, this is next year's budget, starting July 1st. This sort of provides you a little bit of detail as to how the county as a whole is using some of these TOT funds. It's going to the treasurer tax collector, it's going to planning and building, the sheriffs, and then this next year, TOT is getting a significant chunk.
Chase, stop right there for just 1 second. I just want to focus once again, let it all sink in because it's a lot today. So he just went through three different revenue streams, tribe, SB1, and now TOT. TOT, as you can see, definitely utilized up here in the basin and given to TOT for a lot of aspects having to do with the transit occupancy tax. SB1 comes from the state. That also is distributed throughout the entire county and is distributed to certain projects up here in the basin. Tribe is not. Although we use the tribe funding as our maintenance of the effort to justify to the state that we are have some skin in the game when it comes to providing for our own maintenance, that is not utilized, that tribe funding is not utilized up in the basin because it is due to the impacts from the casino, the Red Hawk Casino, that is down on the West Slope. Obviously, if people want to go to a casino in this area, they go that way, they do not go that way. So the impacts are down there. So I just want to make sure that although you see that tribe funding is in our road fund budget, that portion of revenue stream is not inserted into the revenue that we utilize up here in the basin. But where a heavy portion of the TOT revenue that does come to the county, as you can see, those last few bullets there, a significant amount goes to the Department of Transportation for our usage up here in the basin. Continue, Jason.
We have previously shown a breakdown of costs for road operations as a whole. This is more specifically for maintenance and equipment shop. 46%, almost 47, is services and supplies. 47.5% is for salaries, and then 5% for fixed assets, and another 0.5% for some other miscellaneous charges. That also will vary year over year, not to probably a very great extent. Our revenues tend to shift a little bit more than the expenditures, obviously, for the composition of what comes in. But that is going to be a little more steady. This is a breakdown just specifically of costs in our maintenance and equipment shop divisions. Of road fund expenditures, this is excluding some of those other revenue sources we described, tribe, SB1, TOT. This doesn't include disaster costs, funded by FEMA, ideally. This is just road fund discretionary funding as it's been spent across the South Tahoe Basin and West Slope. That'll also vary every year to some extent. You can see it's been within around about that 25% range, plus or minus. This is going back 3 years to when our new accounting system went online. That's where we're going back so far. Stephanie?
Sure. So we wanted to just give you a quick overview of how our part of the budget process works. So my part of our part of the budget process starts in December when the CAO distributes kind of our timelines. And then we work with the departments, let them know when they have to have stuff to us. Every year for the last many years, they've asked for a status quo budget, right? They want basically all of our expenses to remain essentially the same as they were the previous year. So anything that the department wants is going to be a significant change from the previous year. They require a supplemental request. And they also require any position changes, any raises, all that kind of stuff to be submitted on a separate form. All of those requests, everything that the department is looking for expenses for the next year, everything that they are requesting has to be submitted to our unit in mid-January. So for everything that's gonna happen in July and further the next year, they've gotta project that in January for us. And then we come in, we put in all of our projected revenues, we put in all of the expenses from other departments, we get it to a balanced budget, essentially, where the road fund is at the end of the year projected to be at zero. We're gonna spend every dollar that we can on road maintenance. And we submit all of that to the CAO's office in mid-February. And then we're kind of done for a little bit. The CAO's office takes over. They go to the board with the special budget presentation. They go to the board to approve the recommended budget in June. And then we, on our end, start working into the July and August time to close out all the books for the year. We get all the expenses in, get everything finalized. And in August or September, the books close for the previous year. At that time, there can be some adjustments to the recommended budget because there may be some extra general fund that they didn't think they were gonna have. They may have some more TOT that they didn't know they could have. So we may have some increases to the budget. We may end up with less fund balance than we thought we were going to, or more fund balance than we thought we were going to. So we make some adjustments to the budget on our end there. And then we have a final adopted budget in September.
Closer look at the actual Department of Transportation Maintenance Division processes and how we move through fiscal years. After reviewing the fiscal timeline, we thought this would be best to bring in our road repair project timeline so you can see how it coordinates with the budget process. So in December of 2022, we pull ECI reports and we evaluate roads and we select projects off of those reports that we currently have on hand.
So for information, PCI, pavement condition index, arterials, subdivision streets are inspected every 5 years. Arterials, I think every 2 years as we take a look at them. There's a system for rating the defects in the roadway, and then that eventually will produce the PCI number, the pavement condition index. So that's something that really drives our program on where we're headed. You know, we're going to look at a list of all the roads in the county and then how each road is divided up into, you know, each district, and then try to equally kind of take like the SB1 money that's coming in and divide that over the five districts.
So then following that, in March or April of 2023, we take that fiscal year 23-24 SB1 projects and we take the resolution to board for approval of those items in order to move forward with slating those projects. And then July of 23, it's already been submitted. I'm waiting for the approval. We submit that approved resolution to the state of California for them to authorize that they will give us that funds and fund those projects. And then just a little bit on how we utilize SB1. We try to split it between the five districts. If you want to go into how District 5 works.
Yeah, District 5 has got some challenges because it's not District 5. You kind of generally think of it as the top of Basin, right, the summit, but it also includes the Pollock Pines area. So with just before Measure S came into the picture, we take the SB1 money and we would look for a project in the basin 1 year, next year down on the west slope, and it would go back and forth depending on the needs. So we'd have to spread that over a pretty wide area, and unfortunately it didn't allow us to do projects on both west slope and the basin every year. But
So then once the state approves those projects, we have them slated, and in the fall of 23, you will start to see that staff will start brushing and ditching for those projects that have been assigned. And then in January of 2024, we will start generating our bid documents for the repairs. February of 24, we will take those bid documents to the board to request their approval to advertise, and those bids will be posted. Then in April of 2024, we will open the bids and request that the bid be awarded by the board to the lowest responsible bidder. And then by May of 2024, we will obtain the fully executed agreements and hold pre-construction meetings to get those projects started. And then June 2024 to October 2024, you will see the road repairs and surface treatments being completed for those projects.
I'll just back up real quick to when the fall winter staffing begins the brushing and ditching portion of our projects. Last year, this year has been quite the challenge, right? We've been focused on snow removal, storm damage, so this year a lot of that brushing and ditching, especially on the west slope, is picked up in early spring and into as we approach summer. So that's what we're currently focused on down here. With certain environmental rules within the basin, it's very difficult to start the brushing when there's any flow of water in any of the ditches. We have to be extremely careful. Vegetation, the trimming is minor up here compared to what we see down on the west slope with the live oak growth, and there's a lot more concentrated vegetation in the right-of-way than there is up here. So we are, the last couple of years, we've been behind the ball. We didn't start our brushing and ditching in the fall and winter because of the extreme winter. So we're running a little bit behind, and that can happen with a big winter.
One of the things I would like to point out is from the timeline that it takes in order to identify a project to the completion date. So it's roughly a year and a half to almost 2 years before when we evaluate those roads until when it's actually completed. So a lot of the time, damage to those roads can change, and we have to evaluate and maneuver as we go through that process. So looking at fiscal year 23-24, which starts in July, these are our planned projects and equipment that we are planning on purchasing. The first project that we're looking at is South Upper Truckee. The funding source is SB1. The grind and pave is estimated to be completed the second week of July. It's roughly $425,000. And the surface treatment and striping was estimated to start the end of July at $660,000, but that date has changed.
So our pre-job meeting with our contractor, American Pavement, voiced concerns of the timelines, especially up here in the basin. We're seeing very early monsoonal flows. We're seeing the thunder showers and the storms coming through. The timeline after July, once the grind and repair work has been completed, that timeline between the approaching winter and end of the repair work, they do not feel comfortable. The surface treatment is very, very, how do I put that? Temperatures have play a very critical role in having a successful surface treatment. So they're, at this time, we're looking at the final surface treatment on both Pioneer Trail and South Upper Truckee will begin next spring. That allow us to address any further pavement failures that may arise. We've already, since December, we saw about a 10-15% increase from what we initially inspected until just recently. It has grown both on South Upper Truckee and Pioneer. So we feel that at this time, instead of taking those risks and potentially having that opportunity to have the surface treatment fail because we pushed it too far, temperatures are too cold, we've decided to move that till spring. But the actual pavement repairs, all the potholes, all that will be addressed in July.
So now we're looking at Pioneer Trail. The funding source for Pioneer Trail is Measure S TOT, which we had come and discussed with you guys at the emergency meeting, and discretionary TOT. The grind and pave and temp striping is estimated to be completed by the third week of July at roughly $1,390,000. And the surface treatment and striping, as we just discussed, has been moved from the end of July to spring. And the contractor is going to hold pricing on that, which is at $1,420,000. We have some equipment slated for snow removal up here to be purchased this year. We did put in the budget two graders with plows and gates. Each year, the board designates $250,000 of the normal TOT discretionary funds towards snow removal equipment. And they have also approved this year to cover the remainder of those two graders with TOT discretionary funds as well. Then we have snow equipment rentals. Each year also, the board gives us $250,000 of the discretionary TOT. It's an annual contribution. And we have decided that we need to pull $100,000 from the CSA 3 funds to cover those rentals. So, like previously questioned, the CSA 3 funds won't be put into the road fund account. As we charge out those rental costs, then fiscal journals that money back in from the CSA. So if we end up only needing, say, $85,000, that additional $15,000 would stay in the CSA account. It wouldn't just be moved into road fund and utilized for another source.
How much is generally generated each year for CSA 3?
I believe annually it's roughly 120 or 130,000.
Yeah, I want to say 138, yeah. Something like that. I know.
When we had went to the vote, we had, I'm sure you guys had seen, we had put a measure out there during what voting?
It's been two years when we came to the public and wanted to increase the CSA from $20 a parcel. We wanted to move that up to $50, and the voters decided that wasn't a good idea. So that was disappointing because I don't know the exact year, but Tahoma realized the problem with snow removal equipment, and there's a $50. They self-voted. There was a vote, and they decided to increase their tax to $50 a parcel per year, and which has helped with the equipment on the West Shore significantly. It's unfortunate it didn't pass here because that just was one more source of revenue to go towards snow removal equipment.
There were some political issues going on.
It was fairly close. We didn't.
Fired up here, right?
I don't believe they did either. I think everything failed. It was just.
See, I'm a presidential election right now.
I can't speak to what we're looking looking at in the future, whether we'll take another swing at increasing CSA money or not. Raphael, do you?
As of right now, the board wants to see the level of approval and or denial of how Measure S functions. They want to see if this program works, if we begin to see some fruitful opportunities with either snow removal and maintenance, and then build on top of that to provide that credibility that, look, DOT and fiscal, working with an oversight committee, can provide the community when the community asks for it and or votes something in. So building on that as a foundation, we can then use that as an example to say, hey, see how well this is working. So within the next 2 to 3 years, say, all right, now let's take it to the next level. So based off of the success of the Measure S program, I believe is going to be crucial in order for us to look forward to actually pursuing another measure for that zone of benefit.
And to add on to that, just to piggyback on that, one of the things that was a big frustration here, and it's shown in your materials, for many years there were restrictions on the TOT funding, and because of the way that the general plan was written. So the general plan was modified a couple of years ago. I'm looking at that slide.
Where it shows that we didn't get it for so many years, and then we just thought it.
For these 2 years, 1920 and 2021, it shows no use of TOT for growth. That is something that in our community was a big frustration, because so much of the TOT was generated here, yet none of it was coming back up. But that's because the general plan was written in such a way that those funds were restricted from going down to the West Slope. So there was a lot of pain that was occurring in the Tahoe Basin and that. But when the county, the Board of Supervisors modified the general plan a couple of years ago, and Don Ashton and I had several conversations about that, he was very on that. They changed the general plan that freed some of this money up to come back up here to Tahoe. So I think that too, will help with some credibility going forward. Just looking at this and seeing that when we didn't used to get anything, now we're getting almost $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Over time, our residents will start to feel like they're getting a little bit more, you know, fair share. So I think the credibility issue that you brought up, Raphael, is important, and we're moving in the right direction. So I just wanted to point that out, because a lot of people didn't understand that whole general plan component, you know, and it was good.
Right, that's, you know, we're taking steps in the right direction. You know, the board is a lot of us in the increased TOT, plus Measure S, making sure that that comes back here to the basin. I think there's steps in the right direction. And yeah, it's going to help. It's going to take a while to start to really see the improvements as the snow removal equipment comes in and there's more attention to the roads up here and improving them. It's going to happen, but it won't happen overnight. So, and then maybe eventually the citizens up here would like to increase the CSA per parcel fee to have to go to snow removal. That would be great. That'd be nice to show how successful we are at these early stages of Measure S and fleshing.
I have a couple questions. Can you provide a little bit of information about these annual contributions from DOD that are not discretionary contributions? Where do those fall in the funding that's reflected earlier in the presentation?
So it's also one of the items that, as we spend it, they dribble it over to us, because those TOT funds, correct me if I'm wrong, reside with the CAO's office. So as we spend them, fiscal then requests that money from the CAO's office, and then they journal it over. It doesn't just go into road fund.
Okay, so the revenues that we are seeing earlier, don't include those things that are journal over or?
No, that was just, that included just the road fund that's in that account, correct?
Yeah, the road operations spreadsheet, or the road operations revenue numbers did include TOT. The split slide did not,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So the one that's, that shows the split between West Slope and Tahoe, that does not include TOT, but the other revenue slides did.
Yeah,
actually, can you go back quicker than we can?
Like this, the broad categories page, TOT non-discretionary, those $250,000 contributions, where does that fall? Is it a miscellaneous other or?
So this this one right here shows the countywide TOT discretionary at 4.8%. But then if we go forward to this slide, this reflects only road fund. So this does not reflect the discretionary TOT that they give us. This is strictly from CUDA and
yeah, so it's also if you look at this slide.
I'm sorry. Can I go back?
Yeah, that's the revenue circle one. Yeah, that one. So this one shows that road fund, that's really the kind of the funding that's utilized for that we're just depositing, and that's kind of what's floating everything. The on this slide, the tribe, that's reimbursement specific. So we expend the funds and then we get reimbursed later by we do a journal from our tribe account. Same thing with the TOT, that's specific expenses that we bring revenue over on a reimbursement basis. And same with the SB1. But the road fund is really kind of what's funding everything else.
Okay, let me make sure I'm understanding it.
The percentage split is that road fund portion. Mm-hmm. That is the percentage of that portion that goes to either the West Slope or the South Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, the 25-75 split is this chunk.
That's I understand what you guys are saying.
Oh.
I think that's not my question.
Oh, sorry.
So on the equipment and snow equipment rentals, when there's $250,000 TOT annual contribution, is that the TOT discretionary?
It
yes.
is.
Yes.
And the board has committed to giving us each fiscal year $250,000 towards rentals and $250,000 towards purchasing fixed assets.
For okay. I was reading this wrong. So then if that's an annual contribution, is that just moving forward and they haven't given it in prior years?
It just started last year, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. That answers one of the questions. And then the other thing is, so it says $250,000 annual contribution and TOT discretionary for the remainder. What's the difference? And that's what I was thinking.
So you can see right here, it'll say DOT Tahoe area basin snow removal and equipment, and that is the 1.13 or 1.1 roughly. So that's the cost of both of the graders. So the graders right now are budgeted at $565,000 each. So if you take the $250,000 away, you get roughly $800,000 and something that they gave us. So that $1,130,000 includes the $250,000 for the annual contribution, and then they also gave us the additional discretionary to cover the difference.
Okay, so it's okay. That clarifies that the TOT annual contribution is just discretionary, and then there's more discretionary.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
The way it was reading, I was thinking those are two different things, so I was super confused.
So one is guaranteed,
gotcha.
And then the other we had to go to board and ask them. So each year when there's additional TOT funds, departments have to request. And so this year we got lucky. They gave us a lot of money out of there. And one of the items that we did request was that they cover that difference in order for us to purchase the snow removal. So that's why I broke it out. Yeah.
Okay.
So next year, I mean, hopefully we get more than the $250,000 towards fixed assets, but nothing's guaranteed except for that $250,000.
Yes,
they have
that is guaranteed.
They will continue to give to us.
And is that the measurement that you guys are using to identify that you're supplementing and not supplanting the funds?
Yes.
Is that $250,000?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. I have another question that's not related to that.
Okay.
Just wanted to clarify, these planned projects that we're looking at,
mm-hmm.
are these in the 23-24 budget, or are there other projects that you guys are going through right now to adopt the 23-24 budget that will occur in June or October 24?
So these were slated back in, what would that be, December of 21? Minus Pioneer Trail. Obviously, we came to you guys. That's an exception.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe South Upper Truckee was 21-22 that we had started and identified it, taken it to board, had it approved. The grind and pave is, we did have it in this year's budget, but due to the contractor's timeline, we are going to push it out to July because we wanted, like I said, to go after 4th of July instead of trying to hit it with all the traffic. So that is in this fiscal year and in next fiscal year. So the surface treatment will take in the 23-24 budget. Okay. Any other questions?
Nope.
That's nice, a big cloud, huh?
Not right now.
Okay, and so also when we have something in a previous fiscal year, so say we don't complete it by June 30th, we have the option to carry it over. For example, equipment is hard to define an exact timeline of when we're going to get stuff. And so there's approximately $1 million worth of equipment that we haven't received this year. We are taking an item July 18th to board for them to carry it over to next fiscal year. And then our fiscal folks will work on that. And when adopted budget goes in October, they'll adjust our numbers. So if we don't get something completed, we do have the option to carry it over to the following fiscal year.
That helps, thanks.
And that's the same with SB1 too. So when we do the new resolution for the following year, I carry over projects we haven't completed and they reauthorize that we can use those funds to continue our project.
And they still count for the fiscal year that they're originally
slated
for. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so our last item here is the in-house grind and pave. So that is pavement repairs that our staff completes. And we usually anticipate completing 2 weeks of paving in the basin area around July or August.
Yeah, we're probably gonna be looking at more 3+ weeks. Matt's currently putting together a list of spots throughout the basin. Hit and miss in maybe a 100-foot stretch here or 50-foot stretch there, you know, throughout the area. And so as the snow melts and the water continues to cause us problems, we'll be back up. Hopefully things can dry out to a point that starting in probably mid-July into August, then we'll bring our in-house grinding and paving crews up and start doing some of that repair work. So there's probably going to be more spots that we can get to, but we'll prioritize those. And, you know, safety will be the number one driving force in determining what site gets fixed and what, you know, something may have to bleed over, or it may be small enough that just the Tahoe crews can address up here.
And some residents have addressed the fact that there's going to be some diversion of traffic with the Pioneer Trail project in Highway 50. They're concerned about Carnelian. They use that pretty much in regular view. They were concerned about the quality of the road and wondered if you could update your do things a little sooner and take care of that, the diversionary roads ahead of the projects.
Not sure I completely understand.
Well, when they're working on Highway 50 right now, they're going to use patching, okay, and go in and address patching early so that when people are diverting around the other construction projects, that the roads are
right. Say we're working on Pioneer Trail. Are we going to be able to get to Apache first and address certain issues? Is that
absolutely? That's what I'm saying. Carnelian, people go up that they circumvent the walk, the roundabout, also maybe putting some low limit signs, semis from going down residential streets and tearing them up for worse than the yard.
Right. I don't expect heavy truck traffic to be branching off onto Apache. You know, we'll be working on Pioneer, for example. Large trucks should stick to the Highway 50. That's going to be their fastest route, since Pioneer is going to be. We're going to have some significant delays on Pioneer during the project. And, you know, it'll be well advertised and notifications going out to the public, both on probably Supervisor Lane's website, our Facebook website. So we're going to do as much. But Matt will definitely look at these ulterior routes around the construction, especially off of Pioneer, and we'll do our best to address.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
we have an issue. You know, we have a major failure on Apache, and we know that that potentially is going to be used as an alternate route. We'll do our best to address those failures, but I can't guarantee that we're going to get to everything. Your best.
So when Brian talks about staff paving up here, I would like to note that it's we send crews from the West Slope in Placerville up here to work with the Tahoe guys in order to pave. And so that kind of leads into our next slide, which is showing our maintained mileage versus our staff. So in the basin, we have roughly 153 centerline miles, and then on the West Slope, we have approximately 930. Of the centerline percentage, there's a total of 1,083. 14% of that resides within the basin, and then 86% of that is on the West Slope. Previously, we had discussed the road fund percentages. So that's just reiterating that approximately 25% of the road fund is spent to maintain 14% of the centerline miles, and then 75% of the road fund is used to maintain 86% of the centerline. In the basin, we have 19 road crew. On the West Slope, we have 42. In the basin, we have 5 mechanics, and on the West Slope, we have 11. And these numbers are positions that we have, not necessarily that they are filled at the moment. Extra help, we have 10 snow removal workers that we try to fill each year for the basin. And then we have 2 extra help on the West Slope that we try to fill in the summertime to assist with paving, striping, those types of activities. So when looking at the miles compared to staff in the basin, each staff member is essentially responsible to maintain 9 miles of roadway, whereas on the West Slope, each staff member is responsible for maintaining roughly 22 miles of roadway. Excluded from the chart above, we do have additional staff that services both the basin and West Slope. So we have a bridge crew that consists of 4 guys. We have our traffic unit staff, which consists of traffic workers, engineering technicians, and signal techs. They do all the striping, speed surveys, signs, signals, and whatnot. We have 1 administrative technician who answers all calls, completes all invoicing, equipment tracking, and whatnot for both sides of the basin and West Slope. And then we have 1 senior administrative analyst as well that does all the contracts and bidding and budgeting.
So you'll see during the winter time, we'll bring up additional mechanics to support both South Shore and Tahoma. Tahoma being very difficult once the bay closes and we can't get a mechanic from South Shore over to Tahoma. We have a breakdown, we have to bring all the way up 80 and around, or up and around the lake. So when we get into full snow removal operations and the bay closes, we'll station a mechanic up in Tahoma, 1 at South Shore, and depending on the needs, and if, you know, we have sicknesses or generally don't have vacations scheduled for the winter time, it's all hands on deck. So I think we were bringing up 2 additional snow removal workers from the West Slope for Tahoma and 4 for South Shore. So when things get really bad up here, it's usually we're, you know, We still have our issues down on the west slope, but we do our best to keep operations throughout the entire county. Bridge crew ends up spending about 2 months up here doing a lot of curb and gutter repair, snow removal damage, drainage inlet damage. We have the wooden retaining walls, guardrail repair, all is handled through them, and then the traffic unit that comes up for several weeks out of the year doing legends and sign repair and striping. We spend a lot of West Slope staff spend a lot of time up here assisting the basin.
Brian, just a comment. This particular chart tells the story. Typically, the Tahoe Basin, the general public, they do not understand this percentages. They're getting more bang, more money and more people up here.
Yep.
It still isn't enough because both sides of the hill are understaffed and underfunded. And you're, I don't know what your deferred maintenance number is these days, but it's unbelievable.
It's high.
That is very high. So when we look at the surface streets here, the neighborhoods, they're all alligator cracked. They all need to be upgraded big time, and we're not gonna get there overnight.
I believe it was last year we were running, there was someone from the board made a comment that the roads in Tahoe are the worst throughout the county. And actually, our PCI numbers tell a different story, that Tahoe has the arterials, the main roads have the highest PCI throughout the county. So now when you bleed off into the secondary roads and some of the subdivision roads, yeah, there's a lot of work that needs to be addressed out there. But contrary to popular belief, it's not the worst roads in the county. It's pretty spread out, but do have the best arterial roads throughout the county, which, you know, says a lot for Matt and his group and, you know, the projects that we have been able to complete. And that's just, we're just going to add to that with South Upper Truckee, Pioneer, and in future years we're looking at the North Upper Truckee area and bleed off into the subdivisions. One interesting thing is we try to focus 80% towards of our maintenance dollars towards the good roads, keeping the good roads in good shape before they get to a point where, you know, where we can do a road for, say, let's just use $5 a square yard to repair because it's in pretty good shape, and we want to put another surface treatment over the top. There's minor cracking. We don't have a lot of failures. We want to keep those roads in good shape first. We get into some of the other where we're going to double and triple our cost. We'll get to them eventually. We try to 80% to the good roads, and then 20% of our program is going to fix some of the really bad spots that we have. So I know some people will think that why don't we just attack the worst roads first, but bang for the buck, we're gonna continue to fall behind at a rapid rate if we were to follow that type of program. So this is industry-wide, the 80-20 is very common. So we're looking at roads, you know, in that 60 to 70 PCI, keeping them and boosting them up, and then gradually working down to some of the worst stuff.
But to Tom's point, this table does speak volume, because as you can see there, I mean, the basin only has 14% of the centerline miles in the county, yet we're expending 25% of our road fund budget up in the basin. And it's because we do want to try and focus on making sure that we are keeping up with snow removal, keeping up with the maintenance up in this area. Unfortunately, it just isn't enough. We just don't, in past years, we have not had enough revenue. Now, with the new discretionary funding that we're getting, due to some efforts that were made just a few years ago, and this new Measure S, excuse me, I'm hoping that is going to be not just one step in the right direction, but like two steps in the right direction. for us to seriously start making a dent on improving some of the infrastructure maintenance, deferred maintenance, that is long overdue. And I'm hoping that within 3 years that the community's gonna look around and go, whoa, hey, this is cool. I'm seeing a difference. I'm liking what I'm seeing. And then yes, then the next step is, okay, hey, let's see if we can get an increase in the CSA.
Yeah, the other component to that is greatly improved reliability on our snow removal.
On the equipment,
we
100%.
We all know how old our equipment is, and we are making steps, but when you have blowers that are dating back to the 70s, it's hard to depend on them through a tough, hard winter like we just had. We've made really good progress in the last couple of years with equipment, but there's a lot more room for improvement.
Yeah. One quick question. How many open positions do we have in Tahoe?
We do have the mechanic. We have
a mechanic
that
we've been trying
to
fill for almost 2 years. And we even have an incentive that the CIO has allowed us to put on it, $6,000 in additional incentive for a year, and we just cannot get anybody. We have one highway maintenance worker position open, with a second that we know will be opening up here at the end of the month. This right here is
a huge challenge, the extra help during the winter.
Did you have a full complement this week?
What was our total, six or?
Four, we ended up with four. I think we started with six and lost a couple.
Yeah.
We started with seven. We had four permanently here, right? And then we had Rob that was on the west slope that anytime we needed to send him up, he would come up and stay here. So he was extra help as well. That is something that we brought into the program. Originally, it was extra help was just in Tahoe. We just tried finding local people and we just weren't finding enough. We do have snow houses that we rent both in Tahoma and South Lake. So when we do need to send up our West Slope staff, they have a place to stay instead of trying to find a hotel each night and moving people around. And so then we started to say, well, we can utilize you in Placerville. And as soon as a storm hits, they are required to go to Tahoe and stay here as long as we need them to. And so we started finding additional extra help that way for snow removal operations. So that is how we've kind of moved the pieces a bit to try and find more help up here.
Is salary an issue?
Yes, it is. Last year, I think part of our success in finding more extra help, which it doesn't sound like it was more, but it was a lot more than we normally have, was there was a $6,000 incentive on that the board had approved.
What we struggle with is Caltrans will raise their salaries, and then City of South Lake Tahoe will raise theirs, and it's a constant. These guys will jump ship for a couple bucks. It's not easy just to all of a sudden give them a $2 raise. You know, that's a board process, or that's a negotiation process. So, you know, it's something that we keep our eye on, but money is critical up here. It's not cheap. Half of our staff is coming out of Nevada to travel here. It's very difficult for them to get over some of the summits, be here in the morning at 6 a.m. So, but they're a component. We advertise in Nevada, throughout the basin. We really stepped up last year. I mean, we were posting help wanted at the grocery stores and the gas stations and anywhere we could put those, and word of mouth and throughout the Gardnerville and Reno.
Do you have any engineering staff or any other staff that is not busy in the wintertime?
We do, but they're different bargaining units. So OE3 is not in favor of an engineer from Local 1 coming over and working. That's a huge challenge right there, and it's not something that we've found a solution to. I mean, we've shown a couple staff over in engineering that would like to assist, but their hourly rate and then overtime, it's a big hit to our budget too.
Also, a couple items that I didn't include on the 23-24 projects, but we
should note is in Tahoma last year or this fiscal year, we did purchase a new fuel tank that was $62,000. We are looking at setting money aside annually to redesign Tahoma so we don't get to the same position that we were at right now with Shikori in the garage, which is being replaced in Myers this year. They've already started, right?
Yeah. Shikori's under.
And then we also have $1 million in the budget for 23-24 to get new tanks at the Myers location because we are experiencing failures nonstop.
We have groundwater issues, and there's a sump system that monitors and rapidly fills up with water, even though we've made multiple attempts by contractors to seal off certain areas so that we're not getting that intrusion. But we're in a day and age where it's time for the tanks to come up out of the ground, above ground tanks, so they're much easier to monitor. Tahoma tanks were very old and we had limited capacity over there, and during very large storms getting fuel delivery into Tahoma has become a big issue. So we've upsized, we're going to 6,000 gallons of diesel in Tahoma. The tanks have been removed. Bridge crew is currently up there demoing the existing pad and building the new pad for the new tanks that will be in place this fall.
So that goes ahead and takes care of the DOT side of things. And now we are on the Citizens Oversight Committee roles and responsibilities.
So now, getting on to the committee's responsibilities, as you can imagine, I mean, the title kind of says it all, Oversight Committee. You are essentially here to look over our shoulders. Look over DOT shoulders, look over fiscal shoulders, making sure that the $250,000 that is a guaranteed is being provided to the department. That if DOT decides to buy a a plow truck, that then Tom says, whoa, we don't use plow trucks up here. What the heck are you buying a plow truck for up in the basin?
Who's running this place?
Yeah. So it's basically looking over our shoulder that the equipment that we're purchasing, the money that we are getting is being utilized in the basin, and making sure that we are abiding by the bylaws of Measure S that clearly states that we shall be overseen by a committee for us to make sure that we are, to make sure that you know that we are providing to the community the way we say we are. I also believe that it's also the Oversight Committee is a conduit for the county to the public. So for us to get information from you and for us to get information to the public through you. So I think this is going to be a great opportunity for us to get more involvement, more participation, more awareness as to what the county is doing and our efforts to provide the kind of service that we want to provide and that everybody expects. So the committee will also be meeting on an annual basis, and as a matter of fact, we are going to initially be meeting on a biannual basis. So we're going to be meeting one time in late spring, early summer, and then toward the end of the year in late fall, early winter. During the meeting that we are going to be having in late fall, early winter, that's when fiscal we'll be getting you the final numbers as to what the books closed at. We will be giving you the information as to what projects we completed and what we're looking at for the future, and then being able to provide that for the report. So, I should have swapped these around, but the last bullet there says, prepare a written report to the Board of Supervisors. So the committee is to provide a report to the Board of Supervisors. both fiscal and DOT will be preparing you a cookie cutter template filled with bullet points, examples, projects, fiscal data for you to be able to copy and paste into a report status that you can then give to the Board of Supervisors, being able to check the boxes, say, yes, this was discussed with us, this was mentioned, this has been verified, this is what is going to be provided, so that you can then provide that to the Board of Supervisors to prove that we have been abiding by the measures of the bylaws of Measure S. And then jumping back to bullet number three there, and I think the one that I'm looking forward to when we finish up this PowerPoint presentation is the back and forth. How is it, I wanna hear from you guys in terms of what you feel is important. Snow removal, maintenance, guardrail, drainage, bicycle facilities. What is it that the community is looking for? CSA participation, what is it that we're looking for in terms of the community's input for us to do what they expect? Next slide. And then now getting into some of the bylaws that govern the committee. So the chair is to lead these meetings. Brian did a great job this morning in starting it off with the minutes and the agenda. And then conferring that staff is providing meetings and to the agendas. Staff will be providing a general overview of what the agenda should look like, and then it's going to be for the chair to confirm, yes, these are the items that should be discussed here today. Vice chair is basically shall assume the responsibilities of the chair if the chair is not present. And then the secretary is to review the agenda and then review the meeting minutes, as well as then providing the report that goes to the Board of Supervisors. The committee oversight is to abide by the Brown Act. So any time that we meet in a public setting, can't be more than three of you here. Kelly, I'm curious, did we provide them with any Brown Act bylaws?
I think we emailed it out at the beginning, right?
Okay, so. Okay, good, perfect. And for those of you who, if you are in doubt, by all means, please reach out to me and my staff, and we can definitely get you the Brown Act bylaws. Each position will be held for 1 year until the next selection of their successor. And then the committee members are to reside in the unincorporated areas of the Tahoe Basin. So that pretty much concludes our presentation for you here today. Do you have any additional questions that you might have for us?
Amy? I have a couple about the annual report. Do we need to prepare one for fiscal year 22-23?
You will be preparing one after we provide you the meeting that we're going to be having in either October, November. So we will be providing you the data. Fiscal will be providing you the end of year data when the books close. We will be providing you the projects that were completed, and then as well as projects that we plan on pursuing for subsequent years. And then that's what you will then utilize to provide your report.
And is it for the calendar year or the fiscal year, I guess?
You know what? It's not. To me, I think we're gonna kind of do a calendar year, because really, end of the year is when they close the books and then they tell you, you know, what the final numbers are. We're gonna tell you, because we're gonna be done with our projects, so then we're gonna tell you what we finalized at the end of the year. So really, it's gonna be for the closing of that calendar year.
Okay, that makes sense. Will that be something where the agenda and the meeting minutes are routed to me automatically?
So I'll draft them and I'll send them to you, and then if you have any changes or you would like to add anything, just let me know. And then, like I send out to you guys, I will post it on our website and send it back with everything confirmed, so you guys have those.
So we'll be confirming that with you first before it is posted on our website.
Okay, thank you. I've never been to secretary, so. And then one other question, do we have any official bylaws for this CLC or just the general rules?
Just the general.
Okay.
We definitely want to make this, the fact that you are volunteering your time and your efforts here, we want to make this as easy as possible for you to provide us the information that we need and then the board the information that they need. So that concludes Ashley 2A, correct?
Yep.
All right.
2B.
2B, the fun one. All right.
Going on.
Yeah.
So here's where we're going to have the discussion with the committee on what do you feel is important? Where should this money go? Do we want to put it all into roads? Do we want to put it all into equipment? Do we want to find a happy medium? So we're improving snow removal and the roads at the same time. So as we just my timelines are screwed up. We received that grader late winter, the new grader up here. Upon approval of budget, we will order two additional John Deere graders. And I'm not sure the number that you quoted, 560, does that include the gates and?
That's what they're budgeted at. I think they came in at 514. With the
bottom. Yeah, costs for iron has greatly increased. I remember 150,000, 175,000. We could have a grader back in the day. We were on a program, it was a lease program when we had it with CAT, we had it with John Deere, where I believe it was every 7 years the old graders went out, completed and graders came in. Kept the reliability for them very high. At some point, and politically, CAO's office said, if you can't write a check for it, then we're not leasing. We got out of that, process. So the last time the new set of graders came in was 2005. And snow removal is very, very hard on the equipment. It's beat up, especially this year. So, you know, there's the need to get these 2005 graders out, reliable in. So we have two more coming, plus the one, so that's three. We need to start considering the big mountain truck blowers. We have purchased four LaRue blowers, which go on the front of the rental loaders. We've seen some success there in that program, and it's taken some heat off of some of the older equipment, but we're looking at, I think, our fleet superintendent is saying we're upwards of 900,000 is what it's gonna cost for a mountain truck loader. I envision, we'll step back just a little bit. Matt and I went over to Incline Village 4 or 5 years ago, and they have a very successful snow removal program up over there. They're using a combination of graders, mountain blowers, and the loader mounted blowers. So we liked what we saw over there, especially with we were seeing the challenges of the non-renewal of the lease program. So bringing in kind of that short-term fix is the bringing in the loaders, and we have the blowers, but we're three blowers, I believe, now in South Lake that are 19, I got the years, we're in the 70s, and we have a lot of problem keeping them running. Tahoma, not so much. There's a few years out, we're going to start looking at some of the equipment over there. But overall, Tahoma's in good shape. So we're focusing on South Lake. So I envision that Measure S, that we would look at a possibility in years to fall, in years to come, that we're going to look at a grader and a mountain, truck blower, and we'll continue that for several years until we get caught up. And then, you know, when we don't need so much equipment, we feel that the equipment reliability has stabilized, then we're probably going to focus on 2/3 possibly to road repair, and then the other keeping up the snow removal equipment. What are your guys' thoughts? That's really interesting. Where you would, what's most important? Snow removal, road repair, or a combination?
Well, when it's winter, that's when we ought to go back to the voters, right in the middle of January. However, having done some of this in the past myself, and know how difficult it is to balance things, we have all kinds of issues right in the middle of the process. When somebody tells you, oh, by the way, $1 million you thought you had is gone. You know, those kinds of things happen, and so you have to be very flexible. I think the balance that you're proposing is good. We'll need to give input each year in regard to that. I know for myself, the folks that I talk to up here, they'd like to see more out on the road, but they certainly don't want to wait 4 days to get the road plowed. And so, and snow removal this year was 7 months of the year, at least. And it was pretty tough. A lot of our neighbors were having problems getting out, and that's the neighborhoods up there. So we've got to make a major effort in snow removal. Do the very best you can to get these extra help people on board so you can run a night shift. Rather than have two guys out there sanding roads at night.
Right. It's tough. That's when you come to the staffing.
Really
the staffing issues that we're facing is, yes, this year, fortunately, we had not a full night crew, but much better than years past. And it made a world of difference being able to pick up in a zone that, you know, a subdivision that didn't get completed. Night shift would pick that up. Keeping the mains plowed overnight made a huge difference. But in years past, where, like Tom mentioned, you know, we're going to be working on Pioneer, North Upper Truckee, and Sawmill. That's all we could accomplish overnight. Everything just accumulated. If it was a flip from the day before, we got 2 feet overnight, we're starting all over again. So we'll work on it, addressing with the board salary issues, but
snow removal is always been compromised because the roads are not good enough for them to be able to pack. And I'm telling you that with the loader, plows on the loaders, I think that's great. They can go faster. You don't need a higher quality of employee running. I think they did a marvelous job. But you have a grader, you can't put any down pressure, you're going to go right through the pavement. And the pack was an issue a lot. You have chip seal in a number of years, and I understand why. But you need to glue some of these streets back together, or you're going to be dirt. You know, and that's an issue. Chip seal was a problem when you did it yourself. Want to contract and have it done, but there's dirt places, you know, and you're gonna lose that. You're gonna be in the end of dirt. You're not gonna have anything to repair. So, you know, snow removal equipment is great, but having it, you know, not having the road to plow, maybe.
Good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been unsuccessful growing those. We've tried, but no success.
The first graders that the city bought and the county bought 1980-something for $36,000. The first county graders they bought. And I get it. I dumbfounded. And you went to John Deere's and cats or cat graders or some graders. So I don't know. I
envision this committee, you know, really determining, you know, is there a blend? Are we going to address both major issues, or are we going to focus on just snow removal for a couple of years, and then we're going to get into road repair? That's what we're really looking at you guys for. It's like, what direction do you want to go with this Measure S?
I had been under the impression that the two graders had already been ordered and that they would be here to start with this upcoming winter season. Is that not
the case? No, they will be ordered in July.
Yeah, so that they're in the 23-24 budget, which starts July 1st. They are outside of the purchasing agent's dollar threshold that she's allowed to authorize. So the first board meeting is July 18th that we will be requesting the board delegate authority to her to sign the purchase order. Our fleet superintendent has already had conversations with them. We have quotes. I'm routing. We piggyback off of source mall contracts. So the grader that I told you is going to cost $514,000, that is with a 43% discount already on it because we're using the source mall. And so we get all of those documents ready. So as soon as fiscal year hits, we can get that order in. A lot of vendors have worked for us, and so they save us one, right? But because of COVID and these long timelines, it's hard to tell when they're going to have all the parts and they're going to be able to get everything to us. I mean, I think a good example is in 2020, 2021, we put in for a skid steer, and we still have not received it 2 months ago.
It was a specialized skid steer that, you know, had certain hydraulic specs that we needed, that it wasn't a standard skid steer that we ordered. But we're seeing 1 to 2 years still. We're still seeing the effects from COVID, the supply chain issues. Caltrans, is my understanding, ordered 50 new John Deere statewide. So we're, you know, here we are, El Dorado County wants 2.
Yeah.
The state wants 50, and that's just a county and a state. I don't know what the demand is throughout North America for new graders. I'm assuming it's going to be pretty high. But yeah, we're seeing 1 to 2 years from when we order until it arrives. Now, John Deere said they, you know, they're making improvements with supply chain issues, and they're hoping their timelines are coming down, but it's tough. We're looking a ways out. When we order something now, hopefully, fingers crossed that we get it before the winter, but will the iron be sitting on the ground when the first snowflake falls? Highly unlikely.
I think the biggest issue with snow removal is not having to go back. Matt did a great job considering everything it was. I don't know how you run a rotary when you can't see what's on the other side of the pile. You know, that's I've run a rotary, and when you can't see all the files, you just pull that motor going, hope for the best. But you did a great job, all in all. I take the loaders, you get a new one every year. You know, and I don't know if the emissions now is standard, but my God, you bought one that was a tier 2, and 2 years later, it's not. California Resources Board says you can't run it anymore, and that's
everything that's been ordered recently is all Tier 4 final. But we're also hearing Air Resources Board is really starting to push towards electric equipment, which we have huge concerns over that. I mean, we go out and work for 4 hours, and we have to go plug it back in or bring out a diesel generator to charge it in the field. But Air Resources Board has never been reasonable. They throw stuff out there. They sit in the committee meeting and they go, that's a great idea, and they go, good luck. And then we're forced to figure out how we're gonna pay for these mandates that come down.
What's the cost of a loan and a loan?
200 and just 225 for the LaRue's.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're looking at 900,000 for a truck blower, mounted blower, and then you look at the loader mounted blowers, it's significant, but you know, we're renting a piece of equipment to be able to push that blower. And we did have some issues with them this year. There's a couple rebuilds. We've had some cracks in the frame, so a couple of them, one hit something and had to park it. There was no way we were going to do those types of repairs over the winter. You know, the hitting the objects that people are putting out in the snow, whether it's a car or rocks, or you run a rock this size through the blower, done.
Or they move their mailbox and it's closer into the road than it should be, and then, yeah, sure enough.
Very, very proud of what Matt's group accomplished this year under the circumstances. I think Matt's group did an amazing job, but by no means are we high-fiving each other and going, we did great. We see a lot of room for improvement. After this meeting, we're doing a winter debrief, what we did right, what we did wrong, and how do we go about fixing it. So Matt, his staff, Westlope's staff are having a meeting just to take a look at our overall program and, you know, where can we improve. So,
and by no means with snow removal, I'm sorry, I had to step away, so if Brian already mentioned it, are we going to completely deviate from having no blowers or having no graders? There will always be a place in our fleet that we will have graders and we will have full truck-mounted blowers. But having the flexibility of having the lease with the attachments is a great way of making us stretch out our money that we have to go much longer, much further than we have in the past.
Yeah, you know, the funding restraints, we really had to think outside the box. And, you know, going over to Incline and looking at a very successful program over there and what can we learn from them. And Caltrans back and forth. Caltrans is very interested in our loaner program. I was surprised to hear, but they're like, we're seeing some success out there with that. It has its place. So I believe we're on the right track. Matt and I have always envisioned a combination of graders and loaders. You know, we're gonna get into the graders in some of the steeper subdivision and roads that we have, especially when we get up onto the summit. Graders can't, as you stated, Russ, we can't peel pack with the loaders, but we can with the graders. One big change that we've done is we've seen in the past, the goal was to get to black as fast as possible, by all means, and we would put extreme pressure down to get that last little bit. We're seeing a huge toll in what it's doing to our road conditions, and we're just tearing stuff up. So along with the new Shikori building is a brand new brine unit with storage capacity, and I believe we'll be able to have at least 5,000 pre-made, ready to go, and a brand new computerized brine making machine, so we'll be able to increase our brine applications. And we still haven't ruled out the beet juice, which we had success with, but getting that from the East Coast to Midwest out to here was a challenge. Being able to store, being able to buy in bulk, and being able to store that. So definitely looking at that. So instead of all that down pressure and scraping off that last bit of pack, we're really moving to, you know, a pre and post grinding system. We've seen a lot of success in that. Salt do the work and then come behind that and remove that remaining pack.
And maybe alternate run a grinder in a pattern at night voted during the day or come back in every couple of days with a grader to get the people the majority of the pack back up.
Yeah, Matt and his supervisors are always out looking at, and then, you know, they'll make those operational changes. And, you know, we see that, hey, we're going to need the grader in zone 2, 3, and 4, and then we're going to move the loaders into Christmas Valley, however that is going to transpire. That'll, those will be operational things that we're changing on the fly. So they'll want a piece of equipment assigned to Christmas Valley only gets a loader. Or we can move that stuff around as we see.
Yes,
Jeanette.
I have a question. What is the estimate for generation of the Measure S TOT annually? And do we have a number of what we've generated from when it was implemented in January to date? Do you have some just ballpark numbers for that? Or
I can't have that piece of paper that I brought.
Yeah, I think it was like 600,000.
I think we were at 626,000 today. That's been generated since January.
And that's probably low because people couldn't get up to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 The estimate was 2.5 million a year.
Yeah, 2.5 million a year was
yesterday. Maybe they'll make up for it this summer.
I think when we come back to you guys in October, November, that would probably be a pretty close estimate to what we're going to receive annually. We can provide that then. And then you could give more direction on how you know, what you guys would like to see those funds spent on, because then you would be able to see how much we're approximately bringing in.
Yeah, I think we discussed at the last meeting that we'd like to kind of collect 1 year's worth of revenue to kind of see what's there and so we know how much we can spend. I just have a question for you. Does I assume that if curb and gutter goes in, it helps keep the road edges from degrading, at least to a certain degree. Is that a true statement?
I think the rolled curb and gutter that we see up here is more on the stormwater, and lake clarity is what's trying to be achieved
right,
with that.
That's towards the purpose.
Right.
But my question is, you know, if that is implemented, does that also help with maintaining the road edges so that they don't start sloughing off?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying that we use this money right now and that it's a priority, but I'm just wondering about the GRPA VIP program, and, you know, is there a way to leverage some funding from there to do, you know, some curb and gutter that will help us, you know, get into a situation where, you know, our roadways are going to hold up better going down the road.
Right. We have dedicated engineering staff up here, and they are very, very good at going after grant money for those types of projects. I don't envision using Measure S for rolled curb and gutter.
No,
but
I'm just asking the question, does it help, you know, with ensuring that you're not seeing so much degrading? Because I'm seeing a lot of the roadways, the sides just sloughing off, you know, and
yes,
over time.
It definitely does help secure that edge, and you know, have a lot less breakage on the edge from either the equipment or just, you know, routine everyday traffic. They are a maintenance nightmare. It's concrete. We use a lot of salt, so there's a lot of work and upkeep. And you know, as our operators get offline just a little bit, that down pressure, and now you're starting to see the top of that curb and gutter is breaking away, or we're seeing the spalling from the free spa issues and salt that we have up here. But I think they provide more benefit than they do a hindrance to us. And as I stated, Dan and Donaldo on the engineering side of DOT up here are actively pursuing any opportunity have the old curb and gutter and drainage improvements done. So I can't speak exactly to what's currently in the in the lineup, what they're working on right at this moment.
So that is something that, although it's not part of the oversight committee, I think once again, you guys are going to be our conduit to the community. Providing you that information is going to be beneficial for you guys to know and getting it out there. So I will bring in a list of CIP, capital improvement projects, that is not funded through maintenance. These are grant funded, that you guys can convey that out to the public so the public knows that, yeah, hey, we've got improvements coming in.
Whether it's getting us money for a new sweeper up here or money to go towards how much was our new tractor truck? Yeah, almost $700,000 for a new tractor truck, and it's primarily used up here for the retention basins and all the sediment that happens throughout the year. But yeah, they're really good at finding the opportunities and working with TRPA and other organizations on finding those funds. So I guess your homework is where you're like, what? There's homework?
I haven't really spoken about this yet, but I feel like for me, I'm not intimately enough involved with what's going on to understand. Like, it definitely needs to be this or that. I know roads and snow are all huge priorities, obviously. But to have more data to help us kind of drive those decisions, I think would be helpful. Like if I do, what's your fixed asset inventory and life cycle and replacement costs, and could weigh that against, well, and here's all of our, what are those called, PCIs? PCI report and the projects we want to do, but the ones we can't do if we buy equipment, so we have something to weigh against.
I think that's going to be a good first run at this, is have us come back with suggestions. Here's the type of equipment that we're thinking, here's how it's going to improve snow removal, here's the type of projects that we're looking in terms of maintenance, this is how it's going to improve our PCIs, and then kind of tossing it up and having a discussion with the committee as to, okay, weighing it out,
yeah,
a little bit more of this, or that sounds like a good balance, kind of going from there.
Right, I expect that you guys are the ones that can give us that information to kind of help weigh in on. But I mean, I definitely like the approach of, for road maintenance specifically, having a really good plan of spending a majority of that money on making sure that they're well maintained moving forward and not getting tore up right after you do a project. And I understand that sometimes you can't get to those other roads because of that. But I would like to just, on the road maintenance side, have a focus on the maintenance of what we do, and then personally, I don't mind driving in a lot of snow, so it's like, but it's not about me personally, it's about representing our community and what everyone else's needs are. There's a lot of people that did have a huge struggle with snow and getting around, so.
Yeah, it'd be easy to give you our equipment, roster for Tahoma and the basin out of our Shakora yard, years, and we can provide you with what we're recommending so far as here's the needs for replacement, and then we can provide that PCI information. So you can take a look at the roads up here and look at those numbers, and we'll come to you with suggestions, and then hopefully at the end we come together and agree this is how we want to spend the money.
Yeah, I would assume that there are projects that really need to be done. And then at some point you're weighing, okay, does it make more sense to have more snow removal operations or buy more equipment or do this one extra project in here. And that's really where we're going to need the information about why each one of those is important and what benefit they'll bring.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a great little workshop. Just, you know, that discussion back and forth with the data that we provide, with like our suggestions, and then we can kind of hash them out and then move forward with a recommendation from the entire committee and staff as to the direction we go. I think that's going to be great.
But I think like Tom said, that the last 7 months, snow removal equipment has been the number one priority. Now that it's gone, it's all about the roads. So it's, depending on when you pull your people,
yeah.
Right now roads are going to be the number one
yeah.
priority.
How involved is the DCI? How many pages?
For District 5, we could probably narrow it down to the base.
No, I think it's 30. The rating system itself.
What about it?
Is it a gym? How involved is the rating system itself?
I think there's 7 steps to determining with managees. So we have a group under our engineering group, materials lab. They go out and they're the ones that actually evaluate the roadways. So they are outside of the maintenance department. And there's 7 different distress levels or something like that?
It's changed. There used to be like 16 or 18, and then
it's not
that
like
has been lowered down. Years. So it's things like
alligator cracking and
severity. And,
but our PCI report has each road, and then it gives it a number that the
sure.
PCI. So. For, we do it by district, so it's going to include roads that are also in the Pollock Pines area
yeah.
as well. And I think it's roughly 30 or 32 pages, somewhere around there.
I just like to see the rating system, not how the roads
are. Oh, yes.
We can, mm-hmm. we actually are just in the process of preparing that for all the district supervisors. So why don't
does it include the rating system though? I mean, we have like what the PCI
it
is.
It tells them what the PCI is. Yes. Yeah. So I will get you. I will get you that as well because we plan on sending it out to Supervisor Lane here within the next few weeks. I'll make sure that my staff gets you guys all a copy of that.
And maybe you isolate that just to the basin. I think
we can try and do that.
Need to do that. So you guys are not looking. Don't really care much about Sly Park Road or
yeah
and then we can I'll even throw in there the criteria that we know that they use to evaluate the road system. You can have that and look at it.
Yeah.
Interesting, uninteresting. Can't sleep, it's good.
Yeah.
That would be extremely helpful to
sure. Yeah, anything that you guys can think of, you know, something pops up 2 weeks from now, it's like, hey, I'd really like to have some information on this. At any time, reach out to us. We're happy to give that to you.
And then when we complete projects this summer, generally speaking, the materials lab doesn't get to updating those numbers until the following spring or summer. So if we give it to you, say, I'm going to say October, and we do this grind and pave on Pioneer Trail's numbers probably aren't going to look as good as they will once they reevaluate that later in the fiscal year.
Okay.
So I'm impressed with the quality of the people and the staff. Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything you guys need, let us know. We appreciate you guys being here and working with us and kind of guiding us into this new territory, right?
Yes.
Measure S is brand new.
But exciting.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I think that this right here was a long time overdue and well needed. I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air for us, for you, and hopefully the community as well.
Well, I feel confident that now, you know, as people approach us with their concerns, we have some good information to give them. We've got good news about, you know, we've got some new graders coming, not right away, but they're on their way, you know. We're seriously looking at, you know, some of the road conditions, and people will start to relax a little bit because there's been some delay and some misunderstandings about, you know, how Tom is the stepchild. Tom never gets anything.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So now we have, you know, a broader picture to share. So I think that would be
You know, when you say that, it's like I got Eldorado Mills going, we're the stepchild of the county. You know, we're in the South County. It's like, you never do anything over here. You spend all your money in Tahoe or Eldorado Hills.
And I was on the Charter Commission, the very first Charter Commission who wrote the county's change from a general law to a charter. We had to go for an entire year to all the different districts and stuff. Dave Kirsten and I were the representatives for this area. We drove down to a meeting in Eldorado Hills and we looked over the hill and went, I mean, we saw all this infrastructure. Now it's been many years, but they had wonderful public buildings. They had oh my God, parks, they had all kinds of stuff, and they're like, oh my God.
What are they wondering about?
I want to move to Eldorado Hills.
No, you don't.
Well, you see, like Eldorado Hills, right? The medians are landscape, all that, right? But that's not coming out of our budget. That's coming out of all the taxes that they're paying down there to the CSC to have this beautiful landscaping. You know, then you got people on the other side of the highway that are going, well, we want flowers and trees too. It's like, well, this is how you go about it.
That's a lot that comes from the developer agreements and that kind of stuff too. But it was just the shock, you know, coming over the hill and down into this valley of beauty. It was really something.
And a lot of those roads were built in the last couple decades, so they were built to a much higher standard versus up here. You dig into our roads here, and you're lucky to find road base underneath besides some decomposed granite, which is not a great support for the existing road. There are challenges.
A lot of our existing roads too were built right over street environment zones.
Yeah.
You know, they hit the freeze thaw, you know. And so that, you know, we were mentioning that people were saying, you know, gee, you know, all the other county roads are great, and ours are the worst. Well, people don't understand what freeze thaw, chains, and everything else does to the road. We're gonna have twice, two or three times the deterioration that they're gonna have down there. So
and hopefully with this committee we're able to educate the public a little bit more on these types of issues so they have that information in front of them whether they agree or disagree.
So unless there's any further questions, Madam Chair, if you would do us the honors and adjourn the
See none.
See? Ignore the gift. Yeah, we're going to be working on that one. It might be something from Toys R Us, but we'll get a grader out in front of your house.
The meeting is then adjourned, but thank you very much. All of you gave some really great helpful information.
Good.
Thank you.